Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at
1-800-800-3333.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Tickets for the Golf Expo coming up a little bit later in the 4 o'clock hour, I do believe. Hey, I just want to close the loop on this CNN defamation case because this audio is interesting. And it did. It reminded me of everything that happened with that Nick Sandman kid. And, you know, CNN had to cut a big check to him, the Covington Catholic situation. So this is a kid named, I think I misidentified him. Michael Conte is his name. He's a producer. Now, this is in a deposition. Okay, so this is not him testifying in court. But listen to the tone that this kid takes in the deposition. He thinks it's all funny what's going on here.
There's a photograph on the screen. Do you understand that to be Zachary Young?
I understand that to be Zachary Young.
Do you think he has a punchable face?
Yeah.
So why do you think that?
Probably the smirk and the sunglasses.
So he had a text where he said, I want to punch this guy. He's got a punchable face. So the attorney says, do you think he's got a punchable face? And the kid says, yeah, it's the smirk and the sunglasses. So that's how they're judging people at CNN.
Did you want to nail Zachary Young?
No, I wanted to tell the story.
Do people at CNN frequently refer to the subjects of stories as mother?
I can't speak for all of CNN.
I'm just asking if it's something you hear a lot at work.
I hear a lot of profanity at work.
Is it usually directed at the subjects of stories?
Sometimes, not always.
Have you ever heard the subject of a story called, referred to as a mother?
I can't recall.
What about shitbag?
I can't recall.
What about a-hole?
I can't recall.
If a reporter is talking about nailing a mother, what would you think they meant?
Oh, boy, does that depend on the context.
So those are all words and phrases that were used in the text messages that the lawyers have access to.
Wow.
But I don't know how this is going to turn out. This is a $1 billion defamation case, right? I don't know how it's going to turn out because I'm not following it every day. Nick Fondacaro is doing great work out there, and I'm following him. And Jessica Kotescu, who we had on last week, is there every day in the courtroom, too. But let's kind of think back to this moment, because if I'm on the jury and I see some little, you know, wet behind the ear producer smirking in front of a camera with an attorney not taking this seriously, that you just denigrated, an American war hero, if you will. So I think it's disgusting, and oh my God, I hope it could be very close to the end of CNN because they're going to have to make some really interesting choices moving forward. All right, we got John Ziegler coming up after 5 o'clock from Los Angeles, the co-host of the podcast The Death of Journalism. I listened to his latest podcast today. He's got some really good insight and thoughts on the fires, in particular on the blame game. But we have a really great expert here in St. Louis. Paul Ross is back with us.
That's
he is
right.
The director of global business at Aviation Battery Systems, but he's a veteran aviation specialist, has fought these fires from the air before. Paul, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, Mark. Great to be back. And, all this snow, but we're talking fires, right?
It's weird. And let's just start with this, because I mentioned in the monologue, until you brought it up and you put it on our plate, Fred and my plate, I had no idea that it was a company here in St. Louis that supplies all this pink retardant that you're seeing, right?
Right. We have endless fire aviation trivia for you. So Perimeter Solutions was the former Monsanto chemical group, and they started developing fire retardant in the 60s. And so on the news, on all these fires, that red fire retardant was developed here in St. Louis by Monsanto and then eventually spun off in 97. And so big history of, tech and solving fire problems here out of the St. Louis area.
That's amazing. Before we talk about L.A., a little of your background, because I know when we've talked before, you fought some of these fires in Arizona, for example, right?
Right. I grew up in St. Louis and then started in wildland forest fire fighting in 1996. And when you do that, you start on a hand crew. You hike to the fires and dig a fire line in the forest around to starve the fire of burning material. And then I moved into helicopter operations. We would fly. We were like a flying fire department working in central Idaho for U.S. Forest Service. We'd fly to remote fires, stay there, put them out, call in the helicopter to drop water, and then eventually moved to the Park Service Fire Rescue Program at Grand Canyon on the helicopter. But concurrently, I also wrote very heavily for a lot of trade magazines in the fire industry and aviation industry and kind of got to know the industry that way. And I still keep in touch with a lot of friends who are doing this daily in this fire industry out west and really track it very closely.
Let me just talk about what happened a week ago today. I want to get your level of expertise. It's amazing here in some, reaction to some of the ways that they've, proceeded since then. But on the Palisades fire in particular, in the devastation in Malibu, what was your reaction to that? It all happened so quickly.
Right. So in general, nationally, 98% of all wildfires are caught or suppressed and held to less than 100 acres. But in this case, we all saw the winds that had developed. It looks like that fire started up in a very hilly area. L.A., the neighborhoods are all built into the hills. It looked like they're saying it was potentially in a hiking trail area with heavy brush. And in those conditions with the Santa Ana winds, and I just want to note that the Santa Ana season, it starts in October, but a lot of people say it peaks December, January. So this really isn't unusual. The Santa Anas are very pervasive and can spark up like this. So in those conditions, you have humidity levels with this high desert wind in the humidities in the single digits and dry brush that's been drying for months and months. And so you get an ignition and a fire starts in there, and you've seen the pictures of what happened. And so they count on very actively, though, in Southern California, a aerial suppression response, helicopters dropping water, fire retardant air tankers dropping fire retardant, responding. They couldn't respond. You had all these great ground crews who arguably are some of the best in the world. Southern California wrote the book on the incident command system beginning in the 1970s because of these large, what they call urban interface fires. And so if these guys couldn't handle it, then it was a pretty bad situation. The combination of an aerial attack where you're dropping water along with the engines and ground crews meeting that fire head on because of the water dropping, slowing the fire, that's when you can catch these fires. But in this case, it was off to the races in the heavy brush. And then once structures get involved, they become their own fuel type and a massive heat release coming out of those, unfortunately, those burning structures.
So one of the things I said yesterday, because I'm rather addicted to this, as you indicated, I do know the area. I have a lot of friends out there, but I have to give these firefighters and these crews a lot of credit here for the past 4 days. And, today's not so bad right now. It could get worse. But I've been watching these, and you probably have too, where you had these flare-ups, and it certainly looked like it could get bad. There was a house that burned down on Saturday when I was watching it, but these crews got in there with the water drops and the retardant and everything, and they've been able to fight back. Even yesterday or early this morning, there was one that didn't get out of control. Now, we know that we're not out of the woods yet, but then that comes to today, Paul, with the high winds and everything. What are the limitations and the restrictions for helicopters in particular? My understanding is the helicopters are heavier, so they can manage the winds a little bit better than the airplanes, right?
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. They're able to, depending on the helicopter, they use some very large helicopters. They have commercial versions of the military Blackhawk that you see for L.A. County. You also see the Chinook, commercial version of the twin rotor aircraft. So those aircraft can fly in pretty high winds, but you come to a point where the wind conditions are so bad and you're flying in very, very low level, right? And so you need the ability to get out of a bad situation if you're flying in the aircraft amongst the hills and mountains. So at a certain point, you can't safely do it. Also, the water and fire retardant will just simply blow away and not meet your drop. So, but what you have seen in these past 5 days since the winds calmed relatively, you've seen them get a handle on these various portions of that large palisades. Or the new starts. Did you see the new start by the Hollywood Boulevard area? They were able to jump on that at night, and the helicopters do fly at night, dropping water, which is a change over the years. They used to not do that. So these combination of these assets have made a big difference in the what we call initial attack, the initial response. Just like our fire departments here at Eureka or somebody on the rolling out to a house fire, the initial attack on these wildfires, it's made a difference now.
Yeah, so I don't know what the next 24 hours will hold, but it's interesting because I know the winds react to the mountains and there's all kinds of things happening out there, but in some circumstances, in some areas, the winds aren't really an issue very much at all. But then I hear some of the reporting out there where they've had gusts up to 60, 70 miles an hour. And I don't know that 99 miles per hour is a whole lot. Maybe it is a whole lot worse than 75. But to me, it wouldn't take much for some of these cinders or embers or whatever still burning. Because now, Paul, they think that maybe this whole thing in Palisades started because of fireworks that went off on New Year's Eve. And maybe some of that was still kind of burning when all this kicked up a week ago, right?
Right. You and I both read that story wherein it reminds you of the Oakland Hills fire in 1991. And in that case, there was a fire that they thought had been put out, and there was not thorough mop-up, what we call mop-up. Mop-up is putting the fire dead out, and that's actually putting your hands down in the dirt mark, in the burned ash, and feeling for heat. Mm-hmm. And that's what we had to do in the middle of nowhere, where you can't afford a rekindle because it's so hard to get back to. And I don't know if that's what they'll find here. There's certainly the possibility that fire rekindled from the New Year's Eve fire. They think it was a firework-started fire initially in that similar area there in the Palisades.
Veteran fire aviation specialist Paul Ross, who is here in the St. Louis area, is with us. Let me kind of look forward to the future, because it would be my opinion that we're not going to be able to control the winds very much. But aren't there things, technical things, maybe, can you dip your house in a bunch of foam, pink foam, things like that to prevent something on this catastrophic level from happening in the future?
You know, I would tell you that certainly there are those products, and they use those in when they have a little bit more time in some areas where you have more isolated structures. But the bigger thing, Mark, is that folks are living in these areas with brush around the houses. Now, L.A. County has a very strong, strict brush clearance mandate of about 200 feet around new developments and everything, and they really make a difference when there's a fire approaching. That does not allow the eucalyptus tree, which you've seen explode into flames and embers, doesn't allow the eucalyptus tree to then catch the house on fire. So the brush clearance is really probably one of the biggest issues, along with these structures in the Palisades area being built together. The accessibility will never change for firefighters either on trying to get into these areas. You know, if you or I were assigned to protect that house that you saw burn on Saturday, we would have done what's called structure triage, and we would not have defended that house, because if you stand on the ground and look at where that house was, it was a narrow road to get to it. It was one way in, one way out. And unfortunately, as firefighters, in those cases, you have to triage and decide what can I safely defend and not be killed.
And that's what they were doing. There was no doubt that they were just letting that thing burn, but they were trying to be careful to make sure that it didn't go anywhere else.
Right, right. So I think brush clearance mandates, and also the infrastructure side that unfortunately is has been neglected. I think it's very clear when you don't have that 117 million gallon reservoir repaired that was in the middle of the Palisades, that would have saved, allowed guys like you or me on a hydrant to save a couple more homes. And isn't that worth it? It is.
It's amazing. So, that there's going to be a lot of focus on that. Hey, by the way, and I don't know if this has any bearing on the success or not, but one of the things, because I mentioned I'm watching the nonstop coverage on Fox 11 when I was watching this on Friday night and Saturday, they mentioned that, Sue, I don't know if this works, Paul, but some people in some neighborhoods have goats that they have out there specifically to clear the brush.
It's a good idea.
It is, Sue. If you want to get some goats, you can contract and take your herd out to Southern California. We have friends who own a winery, and they hire a herd of goats to clear the brush so their grapes don't burn down. And so that's very common. It's a great tactic. And, just unfortunately, that area is so packed together, and they have not enforced some brush clearance that this perfect storm of wildfire really was devastating.
Hey, Paul, I really never, maybe I had, didn't really pay much attention to these private firefighting crews that are getting a little discussion. How common, because I think we had a stat yesterday, like 47% of firefighters are with the private crews.
Yes, the private contracted hand crews, and that's like a 20-person crew, that's been very common for many years. Because a lot of the wildfire force is seasonal during the fire season. And so sometimes like this, you don't have enough staffing nationally to pull in people. We used to travel on distant mutual aid, but that was during the fire season. If we weren't on duty as seasonal firefighters, then these contract crews have become very common, and they do a great job. It's usually people who have a background having worked for the fire department or U.S. Forest Service, and they go into a more year-round type situation. So it is common out west to have contracted engines. I don't know if you know this, but all the helicopters that you see, except for the fire department logo, those are all contracted and privately owned because, one, they're so expensive to maintain.
Yeah, makes sense.
So there is a lot of contracting in this industry, and it's delivered at a very high level.
Awesome. Paul, great information. You're an awesome resource right here in St. Louis. I appreciate the expertise. We probably have you back before all this is over, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Great to talk to you. Talk to you later.
Get more at 971talk.com.